Blog Talk Radio.
Cut my music. It is UE Draft Day. We are less than 2 hours away from draft time. I'm your host, the retired Hills the Best, and I have my co-host back with me. We got through the legal issues. He has started his own league. Now we finally can have him back on the show, Duke, the legal rights. Mr. President, how are you doing today?
What's going on, Hills? What's good? What's good? Good to be back. I know there was a lot of rumors out there, but like I told folks, be patient because there was no real issue. Just had to get to cross the T's and dot the I's. Hello, somebody.
Hello, somebody. Money is money talks and everything else walks. So everything is squared away. Me and Prez is live at the draft. We're in the draft room. We have the draft down here in Florida. We finally got it out of those Eastern State, Midwest, got it out there in cold, crappy weather, brought it down south. Prez, are you excited for the draft?
I'm excited about the draft. You know, weather-wise, I'm a little iffy right now. You know, tropical depression, a tropical storm, Colin, we don't know who it's going to be. Supposed to be dropping on in sometime tomorrow. So right now, just looking at the doom and gloom, but I'm excited about the draft, especially since I have no horse in the race.
Exactly. It makes it a little bit more exciting as both of us are excited for the draft, and we're down here doing our first live, first of many for the future in all different type of leagues and different venues. Well, we'll get on that on other shows. Let's not waste too much time for the draft. Prez, we see all the prospects. Me and you personally had a chance to talk to the top five prospects. The can't miss corner, the best thing since sliced bread. His mama named him James, but he's named after his daddy, so he calls himself JJ. He's out of Nebraska, JJ Burton. We talked to the young man. He has a lot of good aspects about him. He graded well, intelligent guy. Prez, what do you think about Mr. JJ Burton, the cornerback out of Nebraska?
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, as I was telling JJ, when we spoke in the green room, like I told him, you know, when you come from a school like Nebraska that puts out players like Jaquez Spencer, I understand what they do down in Nebraska because I believe they breed at Pruitt as well. So down in Nebraska, they find a way to make some studs. Oh, yeah, by the way, Oscar Austin was drafted from Nebraska, number one overall last year. So it is something about Nebraska corners that those boys get prepared. Their coaching staff does a great job of getting these guys ready. And I think JJ is going to take the league by storm, and I don't think it's any surprise where he's going, and he should be number one.
Oh, yeah. I think it's unanimous that he is the number one player in the draft. And as I looked at my stat team, did bring it up. My goodness, Nebraska, what is the speed like out there? Their scouting coaches are impeccable. These kids are Florida State, Miami University type of speed, Alabama type of speed, and they are all in the Big 10 conference. Big 12, excuse me. They're in the Big 12 now. I cannot believe that Nebraska is producing these type of players. J.J. Burton should be the unanimous pick for the first round, the best draft prospect since last year's Oscar Austin, like you said. They was a tandem in Nebraska 2 seasons ago. Good luck to quarterbacks trying to throw to them, Fred.
Well, but you know, I don't want to knock J.J., but I feel that the trade that the Vikings made, you had to come away with the best player possible in my mind, the best player in the world, and it looks like J.J. may be the best player in the world if everything pans out. Because when you give up four players for one, he better be the one. Hello, somebody.
Hello, somebody. I agree with you. We all think J.J. Burton will go to the Minnesota Vikings. We did our first mock draft, UE, and we had a lot of corners going top five. We had actually four of the top five picks, which we know that usually how it goes. Prez, I'm not sure if you have your information with you here because you got here a little late due to some traffic. But I'm going to shout out some corners to you. And just out of the three, who do you think will be the best prospect or have the best career in UE? We have Carrington Lumpkin out of Colorado. We have Nick Johnson out of Wisconsin. And we have Tevin Hall out of Pittsburgh. I had them going third, fourth. Which one of those three guys, do you just put on your crystal ball, who do you think will be the best? Because I think Tevin Hall is 6'2", Lumpkin is 6'2", and Nick Johnson is 5'10", which really doesn't make that big of a difference. I just want to put that out there for you.
I like the 5'10 corners. I read an article the other day that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are bucking the trend, not going with big corners, going with 5'10", 5'11", and maybe that is the new thing in the NFL, a little bit quicker, can still jump out of the gym. So I think Nick will be the guy to surprise a lot of people and win a lot of hearts over, and when it's all said and done, he may be the last guy to go off the board out of those three, and he will be the guy to possibly make the Pro Bowl before those other two that goes off the board.
I agree. I think Nick Johnson is a top three corner coming out this draft behind Burton. And I got, Mr. Lumpkin. I think Lumpkin still will be a stud, but I think he's right behind those two in the draft picking order. And I think he will be a steal for the Houston Texans if they can get him. But I have him going. Yeah, and I have him going to the Houston Texans as well. So I think if the Texans can follow him, I think they will be doing just. Prez, we know that you are a wide receiver guru. You have done a wonderful job of producing wide receivers, also receiving tight end. Prez, who do you think, and as we have LaCraig Taylor of Auburn being the first receiver off the draft, I'm not sure if you remember who was all in the draft class as receiver-wise. This draft class for the receivers looks very weak to you. Prez, did you?
Well,
it's
very weak to me as well.
Okay, I was wondering if we was going.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can't remember his name, but I want to say he was a second round grade corner. He ran a 4.3 something speed, but he wasn't the guy. He was fast, but he wasn't the guy. And unfortunately, I don't have the statistics in front of me because everybody says they want a Jacquez Spencer, right? Jacquez Spencer didn't come out of the box. He just came out of the box with a 98 speed, and he had some catching, and he had his awareness. But people get enamored on speed, and sometimes you have to take the best guy available. Who's going to run the routes? Who has the acceleration? You know, you have to look deeper than speed sometimes because a 94 guy at receiver is not bad. If, especially if he do everything better than that dude who run a 97 speed.
Okay,
you know, they get enamored on speed, so you have to put the brakes on speed because speed is not the end all be all. It's nice, don't get me wrong. But you know, you buyers beware, because if you decide that you want to go get that wide receiver because he runs a 4.3 something, whatever it is, and you think he's going to be the next Spencer, well, good luck, because you're going to have some hard times with him.
I agree. The speed is everything for a lot of guys. But, man, it's me and you talk to a lot of pro scouts throughout our process today. They agree with us. It's just the wide receiver class, it's not even about just the speed, because there are not really no game breakers out there. LaCraig Taylor is the one we have predicted number one in our mock draft, and he's a quote-unquote faster receiver in the draft, but he's smaller, which it doesn't matter. Barkley's small, Doyle is small. He he runs pretty, he has good release, but none of these guys are very good route runners. And that is something that has raised the eyebrows of a lot of NFL scouts and made a lot of guys want to trade out of that top 10, try to get out of there and accumulate more picks because they see that the receiver position is not as strong as it has been in past drafts. The route runner is not getting open this year, and if you're going to take a receiver early, you're going to be in trouble, I think. I think you can kind of this year roll the dice a little bit, try to get you some good offensive linemen, which we see in this draft, which will probably not go in the first round. I would try to get my offensive linemen this year. I call it the meat and potato draft, as one of my good friends from Texas would call it, the meat and potato draft, because I don't see a lot of good skill position at the receiver position, in my opinion, Mr. President.
I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, I had an opportunity to get the number one overall pick, but it would have cost me Pruitt. And when I looked at the draft, I said there was nobody who had a 90 catch, a 91 catch in traffic, a 90 route running at this point in the draft that I can develop. I got 2 seasons max left. I don't have time to babysit. And essentially that's what you're going to have to do with these guys because there's nobody that's coming out. And when you don't have somebody who can run routes, it will be detrimental to your offense because you're not going to be able to do the things that you want to do because he doesn't know what he's doing. And a lot of guys, when they're building their wide receivers, they neglect awareness, which I don't understand why that is something that they neglect when they build and pick wide receivers, which is very crucial if you want that wide receiver to be successful.
I agree with you on that, Fred. They have to know. Awareness goes deeper, in my opinion, about more my offense and my scheme that I'm running. If I'm telling you we have hand signals here in Tennessee, Miami, I see y'all use different things, cardboard, all kinds of different things that y'all use. But if your awareness is not as up and you don't understand that this cornerback is in a bell technique, you might need to run a post route instead of the original 9 route. And we assume that you're going to run that. If your awareness is not up, you're going to continue running the route that you're supposed to. If quarterback is anticipating you to reach the corner and you don't do it, that's where the awareness come in, and a lot of these guys don't realize it. That's why a lot of guys don't go up and get catches. A lot of guys don't get open because they don't know which way to run the route. And a lot of guys are going to pay a heavy price, I think, Fred. A lot of the draft will be live tonight. I will be streaming it live. I think this will be a very important draft. Like I said, there's only 2 seasons max left. For the new match to be dropped. And guys, they're desperate. They see that myself has taken a leave of absence from the league. They feel the pressure is impeccable right now. I will have a list for guys I think can win it this year, but that's no here nor there. So guys are going to be desperate, Fred, so they're going to see the Lecrae Taylor and try to trade up for him. And you see that he is not really a good route runner. He really doesn't have a lot of great characteristics about him. He's just fast, but he takes them a while to get to that top end speed as well. But
Right.
But go ahead.
No. I was just going to say you're absolutely right. And, you know, just hopefully folks understand right now, sometimes you go with the best available. You know, free agency is an opportunity to get you some plugs, some holes. So when you hit the draft, now you can go best available because sometimes your guy's not on the board. But I can tell you this, that corner who runs the 92 speed, you passing up on him, but he got 85, 86 man coverage, 86 zone, but you decide that you don't want him because he run a 92 speed, just let him come down to Miami because we'll love to have him here.
Exactly. You're right, though. A lot of times you see corners being slid and passed on, and they don't get the production that others need. Just in case of corner I picked, Willie Brandon last season might have been the best overall rookie in upper echelon last season, and he slid after Oscar Austin, but we had 2 other corners picked before him, and that was nonsense. There's no way 2 other corners should have been picked behind Brandon. I had Brandon rated as my number 2 corner behind Oscar Austin, and he fell to the number 11th overall pick, and that's pretty bad when you had 3 other corners drafted before him. So, guys, like you said, you got to get the best prospect, but it's not always about that blazing speed. Now, like I said, Prez, I know that you are a a receiving guy you love to spread the football around, Mr. Nate Cole, not Nat Cole, Mr. Nate Cole out of Wisconsin. He is a gigantic man. I know, Prez, when you seen him, the first words you said, wow, he is a physical specimen, 6'6", very fast, good hands, good route runner. I got him as the number 12 overall prospect in the draft. He should go higher than me, Prez. You like the guy in person. You like talking to him in the green room. Nate Cole, 6'6", Wisconsin. What you like? What can you tell the audience about this kid?
Well, what I can tell you is that Nate Cole can come in and he's a former basketball player, so he knows how to box out. He knows how to body you. So if I like to compare him to the Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez mold of tight ends. And when you sit down and talk to him and you look how big his hands are, and he comes in and he understands football. And so he understands when he needs to sit down in that route, to sit down in that zone. He understands when he's running a concept route that, okay, right now me and my quarterback on the same page, so I'm going to go ahead and run this 9 route because he's going to sit down as a corner. He is just what you want as a corner, as a wide receiver. And I think he will be the steal of the draft, but he will be passed on. He will not be the number one wide receiver. He'll be passed on for somebody who runs a little bit faster than he does, but he'll have the overall production when it's all said and done.
I agree 100%. He's a big kid, smart kid, humble. Humble kid, like I said, he played basketball with Wisconsin, and you know the Badgers basketball program is pretty stout in itself, and he done a wonderful job transitioning to a tight end. He is going to be a stud, like you said. He's going to fall because he's not what everyone is looking for in the draft, so I think he will be a steal. Prez, we talked to a lot of GMs, and we see that as we went down the big board, we got three middle linebackers that I think will just come in the lead and do what they're supposed to do. I got them rated at the 15th, 16th, and the 28th overall pick. In your opinion, Prez, do you think these middle linebackers let's make sure I get these names right. Mr. Sean Brandon out of Oklahoma, Brandon Jeffrey out of Auburn, and Troy Barnes out of UCLA. Prez, they gave you a hard time. A lot of them was laughing and joking with you and telling you that they were hurt Spencer running across the middle, and y'all shared a little laugh. What impressed you about those three linebackers that we talked to today?
Well, what I realize is that they're big, they're fast, they play physical. They're violent in a good way. You know, you have to be violent when you're on that field and you're a defender. You got to be able to strike fear in the other man's heart, and they don't mind coming and knocking you out. You know, and like I said, they play smart. They play smart. They fast, and they're intelligent. And what I like about them is that they want to go to work. They're always ready to eat. They want to go learn. They're in the room watching film, and they're always trying to get better. And, you know, you had one of them who was a Heisman runner-up, and yet he's still beating the veterans to the film room right now. And right now this is unheard of, right?
Yeah.
Because he's going back to his college campus. He's sitting in. He's watching tape. Because he told me that he know he's going to be gone by the 15th pick. I won't put him out there, but he said he'll be gone by 15. So he's already been doing some team scouting by 15, and he says so wherever he falls, he know where he'll be, and he's already been doing homework. And I like that. I think he's hungry, and this core right here is going to be something special, and it's unfortunate that I don't have a first-round draft pick because I definitely would get one of those guys, and I hope the Buffalo Bills understand that they're lacking some things on defense, and maybe after they just hit a home run with that blessing of a deal, he may be in the looks for one of those middle linebackers.
Oh, yeah, he will. He should definitely be looking for one of them at that 13th overall pick. Now, Fred, you also have Mr. Patrick, a guy that joined us here on the set. He is a quarterback. If people don't know, they are very rare in this draft. Prez, quickly, do you think a quarterback goes first round this year in upper echelon. I don't think we had a first round pick at a quarterback in 2 years. I could be wrong. But do you see a quarterback going first round?
Let me ask you a question. Is there any quarterback that runs a 4.5 or under in this year's draft? No, there will not be a quarterback that goes in the first round. The only time you see a quarterback that goes in the top 10 at all is if they run a 4.3, because I've seen it in two leagues, and the quarterback ran a 4.3, some 94-something speed it was, and he was the number one overall pick. Very rarely do you see that. So when you know if they got speedy going in the first round, but there might be somebody who needs a quarterback that might try to move back up in the first round. Maybe the Houston Texans. Maybe the Houston Texans try to come back up, move one of those second round picks to draft a quarterback in the second round because he needs it. And unfortunately, Christoph Patrick will not be coming to Houston. So yes, he may want to look for a quarterback in that first round as well.
Now, would you go as far as saying the Houston Texans should reach in the fourth overall pick for a quarterback, or you think they should try to get back in the late first round and get a pick?
I to be honest with you, they can hold pat almost, maybe, and still get one of the two or three quarterbacks to help their franchise. Because, like, what we know is out of the first 10 picks, eight of them will be a corner.
Yeah.
Okay, we already know that. Eight of them going to be a corner. So right now, your odds are looking pretty good right now. You're looking pretty good because you're going to have a couple people who not going to make the draft. So they're going to get a few linemen, right, the best available, right? So,
yeah.
Boom. So now you in the teens right now, and you still got a crop of players because ain't nothing been touched because the only thing just flew off the board, maybe one receiver, and nine corners. So now you can go get your linebacker. You got the pick of the litter. You know, that's why I tell people, if you don't need a cornerback, you don't need to be trying to give the house to get in the top 10 because your player is there at 15. You got to know how to work the draft. And these folks don't understand. You've been in the league 9 seasons, and the goddamn draft run the same way every year, and y'all act like y'all don't know what the hell's going on. It's a corner, it's a corner, it's a corner, wide receiver, corner, 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 maybe a linebacker, corner, corner. Come on, y'all act like y'all ain't been here before. We've seen this movie. You in multiple leagues, and it's like this in every league because the movie don't change. So don't give up the house. Look at you. You were able to get an 11th pick. You know, I want to say you got the 11th pick, and you were able to do something not a lot of people were able to do. Rob a man without a gun and a mask. But you know what? He was so desperate. He was so desperate. And see, that's what happened. They don't understand. Don't be so desperate. Hold on sometime. Because he in his mind, look what you came out with that 11th pick. Came out with a stud.
Yep.
But they don't know the draft.
They don't. I agree with you. That's what, you know, Fred, I didn't mean to cut you off. That's something that we both talked about off camera and off air, that these guys got to realize what's out there. Last year, you know, we both made moves to get cornerback early in the draft, but we knew what we could expand and what not to expand. We knew what type of corners was out there. I knew Willie Brandon was the second best corner in the draft, and I had the 6th overall pick, and I got a linebacker because I seen 2 other corners fall before him, and I started seeing how the draft board was going to fall out. I said, these guys are going to pass on. You got to know what Evan Fulham, what these guys are going to pick. And I sit back and I look at it. Like the Jets, my boy Tristan, and he's a good friend of yours as well. I think he has a lot of people going to look at me crazy when I say this, Fred, and you might do the same. He is in the perfect position in the draft, in my opinion. You're sitting right slap dead in the middle of the draft. Like you said, Fred, nine out of 12 are going to be cornerbacks. So the Jets, I'm sitting back and I'm thinking, well, I just got Patrice from the Dolphins last season. I got Justin Gilbert still on my roster. So I still got 2 good cornerbacks, and I got some good nickel cornerbacks. I don't even need a corner. So So I'm sitting in the middle of this this draft. Receiver's not really great, but I can get one in the mid-round. I don't have to move up, and I can get my two players that can come in and make an impact at 17 and 18, and I don't even need corner. This is perfect for Tristan, Fred. What you think? I think Tristan has the best position in the draft this year to make noise because he can get two of the most quality qualified players to come in and start right away for this team.
Listen, I told you off air that I felt last year one of my biggest regrets, even though that I came away with Oscar Austin, giving up four players for one was one of the biggest regrets that I've done. And I sometimes I look back, it wasn't a great move, but he did what any person was supposed to do. He took the deal, and it made him better and put him in this position right now for this draft. So you're absolutely right. You know, he'll be able to get a wide receiver to help his team. He won't be Spencer Speed, but he can be comparable and help you win. You can go get – you don't need linebacker. So you're in a position right now that you're going to have the pick of the litter.
Yep.
And, you know, so you're absolutely right. Now, the question is what he's going to do with it. And I'm going to say this. I want to personally apologize because I did not know. I have a lot of friends named Tristan. So I always called him Tristan, but it's Tristan. Tristan, I got it.
Oh, I got it.
So I want to apologize, Tristan, that I messed up your name, and I really don't give a shit. But I just wanted to say that on air because you're still the bum of the AFC East. You'll still be last, but I hope you beat Austin. Austin got too much mouth, and I hope you dominate this draft. So you could finish third in the AFC East. I do not want the Patriots to finish third. I would like you to finish third. I'm putting myself one, the Bills two, and y'all scrap it out at the bottom.
Wow. Prayers wouldn't be prayers without taking a swing or a swipe at his fold in the draft. Now, we are we're getting close to an hour away from the draft. Prayers. Do you see KC get back in this first round? He finds a way every year before the draft. Do you see the Panthers finding a way to get back in this first round and get a first round?
I do. If anybody want to learn how to make moves, call KT. He is the only person that I know who does not get attached to any player. He does not look at speed. He does not look at overall. He's not one of those people who say, oh, my God, I love you. You need to be here forever. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm never giving Spitz up. I don't have what he has to do that. But he can. If he had Jacquez Spitz and you came with the right deal and it was somebody you want, he would already been to move him. He would already move him. Will he come back in the first round? Absolutely, because everybody wants somebody off that team, and I'm pretty sure somebody will get what they want, and he does not mean – listen, 98 speed, 99 overall, yeah, come on, get him. It's yours. Hot potato.
Now, how far will you go? Now, how far will we go? Will he get top 15, Fred? That was you're right. That was an easy question. Will he get top 15? Because this is KT we're talking about here. Will he get a top 15 pick before the draft in less than an hour?
No. He will not get a top 15 pick. And I'm going to tell you why he won't get a top 10 pick. You got these folks in this league feeling like Rich Holmes kind of way.
Yeah.
Right. Some kind of way right now. And so since they feeling some kind of way, they ain't going to give nothing to KT because they despise KT and his roster. Right. And it baffles me that they despise KT and his roster because you could build yours just like that too. Everybody have an opportunity to get there. And if you want a roster like KT, don't be afraid to get that stud up that you love to get in the top five or the top 10. Because KT don't mind.
I agree. And that is the last words from us live here in Florida as we are in Jacksonville, Florida for the 2021 Upper Echelon Draft. The draft will be streamed live on Ustream on Here's the Best live channel. We will post a link in the chat. Prez will be watching. I will be watching and participate as much as I can before I hit the snooze button. Y'all have a good day. Enjoy the draft, and we will see you next time on The Outsiders. We're out.
Later.